Well, we had an interesting experience last night. Palani Swami and I went to the dinner at the Marriott, which was honoring Mayor Marianne Kusaka's eight-year legacy. And the mayor was very happy to see us, very happy that we took the time to go to the event. She realizes we're not socially inclined. So appreciates our social efforts. And Palani Swami gave her a beautiful gift of eight bunches, each containing three dwarf tea plants, right? Get that right? So eight bunches, eight symbolized her 8 years of service. I don't know if the three symbolized anything, but okay. Here we go. So 24 plants altogether, and it turns out the mayor loves dwarf tea plants, and she only had five so far, so now she has 29. She said, oh, well, after I'm out of office, you must come over and look at my garden and see how beautiful it is. So it's a perfect gift for her. She was really happy to get our dwarf tea plants. So it went along. We had to leave a little early. We left at 8 so we could get back at a reasonable time to get up at 4. So we didn't get to stay till the end. But the surprising part, you know, it was, in theory, this is a time of acknowledging Mayor Kusaka. But a lot of people came up and acknowledged us. You know, that was the surprising part, that for the different things we had done. One of them being helping the mayor accomplish a very important part of her legacy, which was spreading the message of aloha around the island. And this person felt that the monastery's role in that was crucial, that it wouldn't have happened in near such a all-pervasive manner, shall we say, on a larger scale as it did without our helping in producing the and distributing the aloha posters and the aloha cards. So that was very nice to hear that we were so integral to the success of that program. And also we got acknowledgement just for being up here as a monastery of men thinking about God, doing spiritual things. And we got some acknowledgement for that, that people on the island would come up and be totally uplifted and forget about all their problems and so forth. And acknowledgement that Gurudeva is guiding their spiritual lives. That surprised us. You know, we have Nani from Hawaii Community Foundation popped out the statement, Gurudeva is guiding my spiritual life. You know, we didn't expect that. You know, she's very supportive and all this and that and appreciates being up here. But for her to have that perspective that Gurudeva is guiding her spiritual life just really surprised us. So we went away with a sense of how many people on the island really appreciate the monastery for its spiritual contribution to the island. It's very nice in that sense. So the other miscellany before I get to the talk is that today is Ayuda Puja, tool blessing ceremony. Silpis bless their tools, so those of you who can stay, we're going to walk out at around 7:30 and have to give them time to set up. That's why we can't go out earlier. They've been working. The two of them came in, two seniors came in. What time? Was it around 6, I think? They always come in first to the temple and then go out to the worksite. So they've been working since 6:10, setting up the worksite for the puja. So we have to give them time. So it's a traditional ceremony that's part of Navaratri in India. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever been there, then you wouldn't be surprised how all-pervasive it is. But if you haven't, it's amazing how many things get blessed. taxi cabs, for example, have banana trees tied on each side and three stripes. Chandanam, kumkum, all over them. And elevators are also blessed. Each elevator has the same markings on it, which stays there for about a week before it wears off. So whatever tools you're using, whatever mechanical objects you're using, get blessed on this one day a year. And it's a, you know, it's a very interesting thought that we can ponder, you know, what is the significance? Something like this, you'd never find it in the West, where there's one day a year when the secular objects are blessed. Somehow it doesn't happen. So one of the, would you say, one of the down-to-earth aspects of it is the clearing of negative forces. Negative forces can build up around an object, thought forms, or even asuric kinds of influence in some places can occur, and blessing, you know, in the same spirit as a house blessing, clears out these forces. So, you know, once a year, taking time to bless everything helps get rid of any negative forces that have accumulated for one reason or another around these objects, which can cause accidents. So there's a practical side. You know, if you're working with tools, like Tandu, you have all your tools, you know, you can bless them once a year on Ayuda Puja Day to get rid of any negative forces and that may have accumulated. And it's the same idea. Cleanliness is just an extension of that. In our Savai Chastras, there's a number of references to how the presence of dirt accumulates negative force. So, negative thought force. So, therefore, it's very important to keep like a house clean. So, it's a good practice. You know, if things seem to be getting off track, you know, maybe take the weekend off and clean the house. You know, maybe we've let it accumulate dirt and debris, and we need to clear it out of these forces. So that's the practical side. And the spiritual side, it helps unite the inner and the outer. Helps us look at what we do in the outer world as a religious action. Again, the Western idea is that what we do in the outer world, that's just secular. It has nothing to do with religion. Religion is somehow separate from our everyday actions. So when we take the time to bless the tools we use in our everyday actions, it's helping us change that perspective to the idea that our everyday actions should be an extension of our religious beliefs and goals, and not separate from that. So it helps unite the inner and the outer. So, for example, a businessman who separates his business from his religion doesn't have that deeper perspective. It's better to unite the two so that they're not distinct. Religion permeates his business, his domestic life, going to the temple, you know, permeates everything he does. There's no part of his life that's not permeated with religious beliefs and goals. We don't separate life into separate parts.